Good morning. Open your Bible, please, with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll continue our study of the book of Ephesians. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he does so for their good. It is not a matter, when you approach the Bible, you are handling copies of letters, personal correspondence in some cases, or at least with personal application, that the apostle or some whoever, whether it's Paul or Peter or Luke or James, John, whoever, you are looking at letters and correspondence that these men wrote under the influence or the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He wrote to real people with real problems. And if you will, my friend, you will find that what he said, or what the writers of Scripture said, have very real answers to your problems, just as efficiently dealing with those problems as they were back in the day when the ink was just newly dried on the parchment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." One sentence, two verses long. Let's go back to verse 1. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Notice the word therefore. You say, yeah, here we go, therefore. When you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. Okay, so you know that old saw. But let's go back and look, because indeed it is an indication that what is following the word therefore is predicated upon or rests upon what came before it. And in this case, we're going to have to go back into chapter 4 very briefly. And you've noticed the last half or so of chapter 4 has dealt with the changes and the character of the individual who has trusted Christ, the things that are to be put off. Lying is one of those things, putting away lying. You saw in verse 25, he talks about true holiness in verse 24. In verse 26, "Be ye angry, sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath." In verse 27, he says, "Don't give place to the devil." You're not to steal anymore. In verse 29, you're not to allow corrupt communications to proceed out of your mouth. By contrast, you are to be concerned about edifying other believers. You're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit in verse 30. General house cleaning in verse 31. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And then, after having gotten rid of all that, he says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, on that basis, verse 1, chapter 5, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now, we could spend a great deal of time there, and I could give you illustration after illustration of people who are not doing what that says. "Be ye therefore followers of God." There are people who, instead of following God, are following a man. Most of the religions of the world have their adherents following the founder, following what a man said, the example that a man set. You say, "Now, wait a minute, aren't we supposed to follow the words and the example of Jesus Christ?" Yep, you are. However, there is a difference between Jesus Christ and mere men. I don't care who the individuals were, what tradition says about their lifestyle, their teaching. No man can be compared to Jesus Christ, for he was God in the flesh, God's only begotten Son, the Word of God incarnate. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children," not men. I don't care whether it's the Pope, Muhammad. I don't care whether it's Buddha. It doesn't make any difference whether it's somebody from the past or some religious leader today. There are people today who, if certain of the televangelists were to say, you need to do this, they'd do it and never question. If they say, send money, boy, they'd get out the checkbook and they start right until it hurts. But what does God want? What does God say to do? Well, they don't know. Why? Because they're not following God. Look, I would rather say something that would run the risk of offending you and make you think and evaluate what you're doing in your walk than I would make nice and speak in nice, sweet little platitudes and not ruffle your feathers at all and let you continue on in something that's not right, biblically speaking. Now, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Why did he say it that way, as dear children? Most of the time, little children don't want to do anything except be big like my daddy. I want to do this like my mama. And, you know, you find little kids don't want to stay little kids. Little children want to grow up. They don't want to be little children anymore. One of the reasons is little children have a tendency to be very much dependent upon the adults around them. As a child is dependent upon its parents for its security, its stability, its physical needs, so you and I are supposed to be dependent upon our Lord. And as a little child who loves mommy and daddy will do what mommy and daddy says, as mom and dad are the light of their life, so our Lord is to be to us. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Now, there's some people going to curl the lip. Oh, yeah, here we're going to walk in love. Now, I'll grant you, there are a lot of things that are being taught, a lot of things that are being done and being camouflaged behind that word love. My friend, it is not love that makes a Christian keep his mouth silent when he knows his neighbor needs the Lord. It is not love on the part of a parent who allows a child to grow up throwing temper tantrums and always having his own way. That's not love. It's not love that allows you to disobey the word of God. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my sayings. Well, do you love him or not? Now, you'll notice here that while there are excesses, a sickly, saccharine sentimentalism, oh, let's just love one. You know, it doesn't make any difference. We may disagree on nearly everything, but, you know, we get along as we love one another. Now, look. Now, Scripture says, can two walk together, or how can two walk together, except they be agreed? Your love for the Lord, if it is genuine love for the Lord, will never allow you to condone or participate in something that is disobedient to the Word of God. Now, I find things going on today that are direct disobedience to the Word of God, and yet people will say, oh, no, we love the Lord. And so they'll compromise principle, they'll compromise the Scripture, they'll compromise the authority of the Word of God, inspiration, deity of Christ, anything for the sake of peace and unity. Is that demonstrating the love of Christ? No way. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Hello. Do you see the tie-in? Do you see the spin that he puts on this? He compares our walk in love with the love of Christ. Love does not turn a blind eye to sin. Love does not overlook and ignore things that are wrong. Love may dictate how you respond to those things, but it does not do away with the response. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now notice, please, when he says walk in love, toward whom? If you stay with the context, if you go back, please, to verse 32 in chapter 4, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When he talks about walking in love, he's talking about walking in love toward other Christians. But what does it mean to walk in love? Well, by comparing it to the love of Christ, it's a selfless love. It's not a me first. It's not, hey, get out, watch out there. I've been in line longer than you have, and I deserve this promotion, and Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us. You put yourself out for the other guy? Oh, yeah, and I'll tell you what, they don't appreciate it. No, wait. Yes, there are people who will take advantage of you. There are people who will step on you and climb all over you to get ahead. Does that mean that you're supposed to sit there and whine about it and nurse a grudge about it? No. Does the fact that some people do that mean you should be so cautious as to not demonstrate love toward other people? No. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. Verse 3, but, and we got an interruption here, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, you'll notice here, you're to walk in love, but there's nothing impure about this love. There's nothing, you know, love. There's nothing, none of that gooiness to it. You'll notice he says, on the one hand, you're to walk in love, the idea of being one toward another, but you will notice there's a very sharp line drawn. Verse 3, but fornication. The word fornication sometimes is misunderstood. Let me give you a broad definition. It is any immoral practice. Sometimes people just, you know, try to split hairs and say, well, adultery is a sexual congress between two people who are married but not to each other. And fornication is sexual contact between two people that are not married. It goes much farther than that, friend. Much farther than that. It is anything that is unclean, anything that is improper from a biblical point of view. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You'll notice here, without using the term, what is implied is church discipline. Self-discipline and church discipline. He says, don't let it once be named among you. Now, we've gotten such a tolerant attitude towards sin today that you can go walk into almost any church and you'll find stuff going on there that ought not to be there. That needs to change if you want God to bless America. Well, my time's gone for today. I'm going to have to sign off. I hope you'll join me for the next broadcast of The Bible Says. See you then.